shepherd of the sheep. Send us as shepherds to rescue the lost, to heal the injured, and to feed one another with knowledge and understanding. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners, Peter and John, stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters.
He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. By this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of our Lord. God's grace and peace be and abide with all of us this day that the Lord has made. Amen. Good morning. It is good to be with you this morning, a very blessed day to all of you who celebrate a Mother's Day this day in any way. Those of you who are mothers and grandmothers, and I would say all of you who have a mother. So I think it's a day for all of us to celebrate, and it's a good day to be together as the people of God and to begin another new chapter in the life of this congregation. I want to bring greetings on behalf of the other 126 congregations of the Pacifica Synod. They have walked with your congregation in a unique way during these last months. They have kept you in their prayers, and we together were in assembly this last week. About 650 people all together, over 400 voting members, and during that time we had a very unique experience. Pastor Marone and I have now robed and worshiped together three times in the last 14 days. 2 weeks ago at her ordination, at the seminary that she graduated from in Columbia, South Carolina, I was privileged to be there. On Thursday night of this last week, after she and her husband Don moved all the way from one side of this country to another, barely got unpacked here, then they headed to Costa Mesa for the Synod Assembly. And as we opened the assembly with a Eucharistic worship, where I was privileged to preach, Pastor Marone was the presiding pastor. Our Synod's newest pastor, and one of our whole Evangelical Lutheran Church's newest pastor, was introduced to the entire Synod Assembly as the presiding pastor. And now here we are again. And I've already told it at the first service, but I'll say it again, that you can't count on me being back next week. But I hope to be back from time to time, and it's always good to be here with you and with this congregation. Better texts for an installation service could not have been chosen than the ones that were and are appointed for this day. And I hope that you keep the bulletin close at hand. I'm going to be referring to one of the passages of the 23rd Psalm on page 2, and want us to look again at the prayer that's on page 1 of that bulletin. But I'll refer to those in a few moments. These Old and New Testament images of our God as shepherd are images that tell us a great deal about the way that your God and mine loves you and me and cares for us and embraces us. The language is just amazing, that our God as the Good Shepherd is a God of care, of love, and of life. And our God is one who leads us and feeds us, a God who protects us, a God who promises to restore us, a God who anoints us with God's Spirit and with God's healing hand, a God who knows us, a God who dies for us, and a God who rises again for us. All as a God who says, I am your good shepherd. This imagery that God gives to us, first in the Old Testament from the pen of King David, who was a shepherd himself, and this imagery that Jesus gives to us is imagery that we can better know and understand, or that the people in Jesus' day may have better known and understand than we do. It's doubtful, I would say, that there are too many in this congregation today who have raised sheep. It's just not what many of us do here in the United States, but what the people in David's day, and David himself, and the people in Jesus' day did often, one of the primary vocations was to raise sheep, to shepherd sheep. And so when David wrote these words and when Jesus spoke these words, the people then were fully engaged in the imagery of what was being said about the way that God cares for, nurtures and nourishes, protects and is willing to die for those in God's own charge. When we call one who is ordained to serve in Christ's church, pastor, we are calling them a word, a name that is a translation of the word shepherd. And your congregation, this congregation now, has called among it, among you and among your congregation, a new shepherd. A new shepherd who will do the very things that our good shepherd has said that he will do for us. For in Jesus' wisdom, as he came to be the shepherd of the whole Christian church that would ever live then, now, and in the ages to come, as Jesus ascended to his Father in heaven, he appointed the apostles to be the under-shepherds, to be the caregivers and the caretakers of his church, and to equip and to train others to follow in their footsteps, and to also give that gift to the church. And so our church for centuries has been equipping and giving the gifts that are necessary for those to be the under-shepherds of Christ Jesus, to offer the very things that Jesus promised to give to us. And so you have called one to do those very things, to walk with you, to lead you, to nurture you with word and sacrament, to protect you, to restore you in the words of the absolution after we make confession, to anoint you at a time of healing or when one nears death's door, to know you and to be willing to give great amounts of herself to the ministry of this church. One of the words in the 23rd Psalm that might be translated differently from the original Hebrew text that David used when he wrote this psalm is in the 6th verse, and I'd like you to look at that verse with me. It's on page 2 at the very bottom. There David wrote about our God, surely your goodness and surely your mercy, your compassion, shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, that's a wonderful image, that God's goodness and God's compassion would follow us all the days of our life. That word that you read as follow in the bulletin comes from a Hebrew word, radaf, that probably better would be translated, actually, with the word pursue. Pursue, chase after. Think of a God who is hot on your trail, chasing after you wherever you go. When God's people stray like sheep stray, and we sometimes do, a God promises to chase after us. When some leave the faith for other things, God says, these are my people, and God promises not just to follow after them, but to chase after them, pursue them, welcome and invite them back, allow God's Spirit to work in their lives. God promises to be right behind us, next to us, oftentimes in front of us, and all around us in pursuit of God's own people. So we reread it. Surely your goodness and your mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. I like that imagery. It means that God's never going to give up on me, that God will always embrace me and give me the invitation to walk side by side with our God. So you have called a pastor to take the encouragement of Christ Jesus and to lead as your spiritual leader, as Christ would lead this congregation. You have called Pastor Marone to walk with you, to comfort you, to prepare the table before you, to nurture you from this pulpit and from God's holy word, to lead you beside those nourishing waters and those green pastures of word and sacrament. You have called her to be with you with the oils of anointing during the critical times in your life. You have called her to pursue you, to walk with you, but sometimes to chase after you, constantly with invitation and encouragement and welcome. And in that final verse of the 23rd Psalm, you may have called her to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I want to say a word about that. It doesn't mean that she's supposed to move in here and stay here 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That, of course, is not the intent of that passage. My wife used to say that should have become my confirmation passage. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But we pastors do need our days off and our vacations and our times away for continuing education. And allow your pastor to have those times too. But when she takes this office, as she already has, and when she assumes the responsibility, she knows that you can call upon her day and night for the needs that come your way and the emergencies that might rise in your own life or in your family. That she will be part of this, the Lord's house, the Lord's people, for you as she serves you as your pastor, your shepherd, the one who walks beside you, the one who pursues you, the one who makes a commitment before you this day to be your friend and your partner, your leader, and God's under-shepherd in your midst. You have been a faithful congregation these many last months and years. You have been led by God. You have been comforted by God. You have been taken along the journey that has taken you through the valleys. God opens a new chapter for you today. I am thankful as I stand before you for your faith and your steadfastness. I'm thankful to a call committee that has served you well and a council who has made wise decisions. I'm thankful for the pastors who have been here in the interim period of time. I'm thankful that God chose Pastor Karen Marone to be your pastor. I'm thankful that you chose Pastor Marone to be your pastor. You chose well, and certainly God has chosen well. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue with the rite of installation. It's on page 4 in your bulletin. You may be seated. Having been authorized by the church to install Karen La Follette Marone, our co-worker in the gospel, as pastor,
I now ask for certification of this call. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And again Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." Hear the words St. Paul addressed to Timothy. Set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. Till I come, attend to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophetic utterance when the council of elders laid hands upon you. Practice these duties, devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Hold to that, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Pastor Marone, in the presence of this congregation, will you commit yourself to this new trust and responsibility and promise to discharge your duties in harmony with the constitutions of the Church?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you preach and teach in accordance with the Holy Scriptures and the confessions of the Lutheran Church?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you love, serve, and pray for God's people? Will you nourish them with the Word and Holy Sacraments, leading them by your own example in the use of the means of grace, in faithful service and holy living?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Will you give faithful witness in the world that God's love may be known in all that you do?
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Almighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform them.
Amen.
And if you'll face these people as they make now a commitment to you. People of God, will you receive this messenger of Jesus Christ, sent by God to serve God's people with the gospel of hope and salvation? Will you regard her as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God?
We will.
Will you pray for her and also for her husband, Don? Will you help and honor her for her work's sake and in all things strive to live together in the peace and unity of Christ?
We will.
Pastor Marone, the office of pastor of St. Peter by the Sea Lutheran Church is now committed to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.